I believe as followers of Jesus, you and I, we call ourselves Christians. As Christians, we are to be acquainted with the gospel. With the gospel of Jesus. I mean, you hear that word a lot through the gospel. In fact, there's like 75 times in the New Testament you hear the word gospel. Gospel. I think as followers of Jesus, you and I need to know what is the content of the gospel. You know, for some people, when they hear the word gospel, they think maybe a church choir. Gospel is considered a musical genre. But in the New Testament, it's never has nothing to do with music in the New Testament. The gospel, the word gospel, literally means good news. Evangelion, that's when you hear the word evangelical, that's in the Greek, that's the word gospel attached to it. That you're preaching the evangelist, somebody who's proclaiming the gospel. The gospel. Like I say, it appears 75 times in the New Testament. But what is the gospel? I mean, we hear it, and we read about it in Romans chapter 1. If you got your Bibles, I want to invite you to go there. It appears to me when you read the words of Paul in Romans that he was so in love with this idea of the good news of Jesus. He was sold out for the cause of Jesus. And in Romans, look, listen to how he introduced himself to a church in Rome. Paul never got to visit Rome when he wrote this letter. He wrote the letter about 57 AD. And he longed to go visit Rome. Now, he ended up going there because it was God's will for him to go there. In fact, he was arrested and he died in Rome. But he's writing a letter to the Christians because he knew that there were Christians already there. And these are Paul's words in chapter 1 of the book of Romans. And in fact, on Friday night, we're going through the book of Romans right now. So in September, when we're back, when school starts, we'll be back to our study. We left it off in chapter 5. So amazing. The word righteousness appears through that book. I already told the class, this is a homework. Underline every time you hear the word righteous or righteousness a lot through that book. So Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he says, Paul, this is him introducing himself, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son, who was a descendant from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's introduction right there. Paul, now you know who's writing that letter. He said, and he used the word a slave. Your translation perhaps says a servant, but the word there is doulos, which means slave of Jesus Christ. That's how he considered himself. And then he says, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, set apart for the good news of God. So the first thing you and I learn right there, based on the scripture from the Apostle Paul, is the gospel has a divine origin. It comes from God. This good news is from God. It's the gospel of God. It's God's idea to create this good news for people. But you and I also need to understand, if there's good news, there's a possibility that was bad news before. Yes, bad news happened in Genesis chapter 3. When mankind decided to run away from God, and even there, God pursued him. And the first gospel declaration truly happened in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when Yahweh said to the serpent, he will crush, and the seed of the woman, he will crush your head. That's good news for humanity, because there's going to be somebody who will be the demise of Satan. Paul says, a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. The word apostle means somebody who's sent out on a mission. Modern day missionaries. Apostle means sent on a mission. So when you have an apostleship, you have a mission to accomplish. And we know what Paul's mission was. You go to the book of Acts chapter 9, Jesus called them. He even said, he's going to be my instrument to carry my name out to the Gentiles. And even to kings, before kings, he's going to present the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So Paul already knew that he's been commissioned. He was commissioned to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, an ambassador for Jesus. So the gospel has a divine origin. Look at what Paul says. God promised the gospel through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, when you think about, when you read that, the Holy Scriptures, what were the Holy Scriptures back then in 57 AD? But the Holy Scripture was the Old Testament that they had, the law and the prophets. That those things were read in the synagogues. And so Paul says right here, you go with me, verse 2, which he promised, which God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Writings. And what was that about? Concerning his son, who was a descendant from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. God promised the gospel. And you know, I mean, like I said, Genesis chapter 3, 15, he's already making promises that somebody was going to be born of a woman and he will be the end game of Satan. And you know who that somebody is. Later on, there was a prophet 700 years before Jesus who said a virgin will give birth to a son, and they are to give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Good news, proclaiming good news. When is that going to happen? 700 years before Jesus. And then, you know, so God, now you know the purpose of the prophets. The prophets were the mouthpiece of God. They were announcing good news from God. When a prophet showed up in town, you know he had two things, either good news or bad news. You did not know which one it was until they say, this is what the Lord says. You know, remember Jonah? He told, in 40 days, if you don't change, he's going to come and wipe you out. And people just humble themselves, and you know. So the prophet has good news or bad news from God. So gospel means it's good news. So all these promises that the Lord made through the prophets, all the way pointing to Jesus Christ. It's interesting because Jesus, when he came to preach in John 5:39, he told the Pharisees, you study the scriptures, because by studying it, you think that you have life. And then he said, these are the same scriptures that testify about me. The scriptures, the Pharisees, they knew the law. So they say, how is it you're reading the law? How is it that you're reading your Bible and you do not find me? There's something wrong how you're reading it. Because I'm all over the place there. So these are the same scriptures. The one you read in the synagogue, they testified about me. I'm here and yet you do not believe me. Jesus had a dilemma, an issue with the Pharisees. And in Luke 24:27, this is right after the resurrection, when Jesus also commissioned the disciples to go and announce the good news of the kingdom. And he said, and beginning with Moses, this is the law, first the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was written, what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now Paul says, this gospel was promised through the prophets, in the Holy Scriptures, very much what Jesus has said prior to that. Beginning with Moses, I mean very much the whole Old Testament, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them more accurately all the scriptures that were about him in the Old Testament. You and I are familiar with Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All the prophets were saying that. Many of them perhaps had no idea where those things were going to happen, but they were telling what God already been announcing. It's almost like coming soon, good news for humanity. So the gospel has a divine origin. And what is the gospel? Look at verse 3. It's concerning God's son, a descendant of David, humanly speaking. A descendant of David. It's telling you the humanity of Jesus. David was a king that God, Yahweh made a promise that he will have somebody from his lineage, somebody who's going to sit on his reign, and his reign will never end. It wasn't Solomon, it wasn't Jeroboam, some of those kings. Somebody else was going to come from the line of David. That was. You see, Jesus was known as the son of David in terms of, you know, humanly speaking, in the flesh. There was a blind man one time that he heard Jesus was around. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Everybody knew back in those days that the Messiah will be a direct descendant of David. In fact, and that's why everybody thought the Messiah was going to be a king. This is where the apostles missed. This is what they missed, because they thought, well, Jesus is supposed to be a king like David, and he just come around here hanging out with fishermen. I don't know what kind of king, you know what I mean? Like, they were just like, okay, remember they asked Jesus, the last question they asked Jesus, according to Acts 1:6, he says, they said to Jesus, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what we've been waiting for. And Jesus said to them back then, it's not for you to know the time when that the Father has set in his own agenda, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is a plan, guys. This is a plan for all of y'all, for all of you. Go be my witnesses. Proclaim the gospel. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, a descendant of David. Like I said, the Jewish people knew exactly that the Messiah would come from the line of David. David is from the tribe of Judah. The Messiah will be from the tribe of Judah. No wonder Jesus was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. In Revelation, you read about that. Every priest came from the line of Levi. Jesus from the line of David, Judah, the tribe. So the Son of God was announced also by an angel to Mary. Remember when Mary, the first, we preach about that at Christmas time, when Gabriel came and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. And she was just like, what are you talking about? And it's like, the Lord is with you. You found grace with God, and you're going to be with a child, and you're to give him the name Yeshua, Jesus, because he will be great, and he will be known as the Son of God. Also, Son of Man, Son of God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign on the house of David forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary was like, what? I mean, imagine as a young girl preparing for a wedding, all the information that you're giving me now, that I'm going to be with a child. I mean, the angel said he will be known or called the Son of the Most High God, Jesus. That's what Paul is talking about. Notice what he says concerning his son, verse 3. Who was a descendant from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, and by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Another thing too about Jesus is that his resurrection proves truly that he was who he claimed to be. I mean, he said, nobody takes my life. I'm going to willingly give it, and I'm going to willingly raise it up again. So the resurrection is really what made everything new. And what changed the whole game? Because the disciples, remember, when he died, where were the disciples? They were all hiding. And the resurrection changed the whole game. And now their boldness came back because they saw the risen Savior. So the resurrection truly proves that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah, the Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's interesting. Paul said that it was Jesus. Through Jesus, we receive grace and apostleship. Let me read those. Verse 5. Through Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know you can read any of his letters and not see his passion for the gospel. Paul was a man sold out for the sake of the gospel. I mean, at one time he said, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, if I'm going to live, I'm going to just do it for the Lord. And look, I want you to notice a little bit of his passion right here in this letter, right from the beginning. Verse 14. Romans 1:14, he says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by his faith. Interesting, he said that he felt obligated to preach the gospel to Greeks. Now, when you hear those words, the Greeks, in a sense, were the civilized world, and then the barbarians. Perhaps your translation said non-Greeks, barbarians. So he said, it doesn't matter. It's almost like he can say, I'm going to preach the gospel to the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. to the black and white. I'm going to preach the gospel. Whoever is there, I don't care who there are people, I'm going to present the gospel to them. The gospel, my friends, has no limits. People sometimes, we want to create a border of things. The gospel breaks all kinds of walls of prejudice and things like that, because remember, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Go and present, go and make disciples of all ethnos, nations. The gospel is going to reach all the nations. So Paul said, I'm obligated, I feel the obligation to preach, to present the good news of Jesus to the Greeks, to the civilized world, and to the barbarians. And then he said, to the free and to the foolish. And he said, I want also the opportunity to present the gospel to you who are also in Rome. He longed to go see them, and he planned many times. And then I love verse 16, because I think that'd be a verse for every Christian to memorize, when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of anybody who believes, to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. Why the Jews first? Because the church began with the Jewish people. The first church ever was Jew. You know, the church in Jerusalem, and then later on, years later, the church began to reach out all the territories, like Gentile territory, like the church in Antioch. In fact, Antioch, that was the first time that the disciples were given the name Christians for the first time. Acts 11:26. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because he has the power of, God is at work in the gospel to save people. Anyone who believes, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He has the salvation. You see, why Paul says he's not ashamed? Because the gospel has the power to save anybody who believes. It is the good news of salvation. Anyone, so you see, everyone is included. All that people had to do is believe the good news of Jesus. And then he says, for in the gospel, the righteousness, there's the word, the righteousness of God is revealed. What is righteousness? Another word for righteousness is also justice. If you read a modern translation, it would say something like this. For in the gospel, the way of being right with God is revealed. Righteousness is how you and I can be right with God. You know, a lot of times people think they can be right with God because, oh, you know, I don't do certain things, or I don't drink, or I smoke. I do. You know, it's like they think that we can be right with God in our own terms, with our own goodness. None of us can be right. There's no one righteous, not even one. But it's through the faith that comes, you know, the faith in Jesus. So in the gospel, the right way for you and I to be made right with God, to be at peace with God, is being revealed, it's being declared. That's what Paul is talking about. Let me read that for you again. Verse 17. For in the gospel, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith or by his faithfulness. The righteousness of God. How you and I can be right with God? By faith in Jesus, not by my own goodness. You know, sometimes people have this idea, this ideology that your good will outweigh the bad or something like that. Like, you know, no. The only way that you and I can enter the kingdom of God is not by our own goodness or good deeds that we've done. It's by faith in Jesus Christ, the only one that can get us there. In fact, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In the gospel, the way for you and I to be made right with God is being disclosed. The way for you and I to be at peace with God is disclosed. Why do we need to be at peace with God? Because the Bible talks about something called sin that is a virus, it's a really disease that will separate us from God. And all of us are stained by sin. Even a kid when he's born, a baby, you say, how is that? Do you realize that you never had to teach a baby how to get angry? Or to throw a temper? It comes in the package. You know, it's our sinful nature. It's being tarnished all the way from Genesis chapter 3, the Garden of Eden. Everybody who was born from the Garden of Eden on, and that includes you and I, we're being stained by sin. And then how do we, you know, there's no soap, there's nothing that can really wipe our sins from our lives, only the blood of Jesus, only Jesus' sacrifice. So in the gospel, a way for you to be made right with God is being known. And then he says, And it has the beginning of faith, and he ends with faith. The righteous shall live by his faith. God's plan is revealed in the gospel. God's salvation plan is how you and I can be saved. It's already been disclosed in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus. He tells people what they need to do to be saved. By believing in the Son of God, whose life was sacrificed to save those who believe in him. You know, this is exactly what the apostles presented to people. Peter's first sermon, he said, Acts 2:38, he said to people, repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you or for anybody else who's far away. And you know, and then he said, those who believe his message will baptize, Acts 2:41, and they were joined to their number. From 120, the group was about 120. Now we have 5,000 people, 3,000 people, 5,000. The church was growing, all because they were presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter told the religious leaders. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. Salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other name given to men by whom we are to be saved. The apostles were so committed, devoted to the proclamation of the gospel. And I think you and I need to do the same today. It's still the good news for people that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. And guess what? We're not going to change that. I know a lot of times people want to water down the gospel. You know, that's what you call today prosperity gospel, that apparently God only blesses you, you give money to the church. That's not true. Or you only, you know, God's going to bless you when he wants to bless you, whether you do certain things or not. Because he is God. And so, but you know, this thing that God wants you to prosper. I mean, God wants us to do his thing. And yes, prosperity might be part of that. But sometimes they only pray that the gospel is about this. And when bad things happen to you, they will tell you that you don't have faith. That's not the gospel. Because even Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, trouble is coming. He said, in this world, you're going to have a lot of tribulation. But then he said, but be brave, be courageous, because I have overcome the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. A way for us to be right with God is being disclosed. How you and I can be at peace with God through Jesus Christ, by faith in him. The message of the gospel contains power. Power of salvation for anyone who receives it. No wonder Paul was so eager to present the gospel to people in Rome. I mean, everywhere he went, you know, this is the idea, like, you wonder how the disciples, without having transportation, they were able to carry out the gospel, and they filled the whole Roman Empire with this thing. Even authors that were not Christian, they talk about the Christians, and they talk about Jesus, because everyone was talking about him. It's word of mouth. They told the people. That's what being a witness is. You, in a conversation, you talk to people and you present the gospel, the opportunity for them to believe in the only one who can save them, and that's Jesus. It's interesting. Michael Garrido was reading a passage. I think that passage that Paul, the same writing, writes to another church in Corinth, and he defines truly what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. So you want to know the definition of the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:1-7. This is what the Apostle Paul says to them. Now, he says, I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel, the good news I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Man, that's packed up with a lot of theology right there. I want to remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you. I preached it, you received it, you believed in what I told you. And then he says, now you have taken a stand, and if you continue in that stand, you will be saved. The gospel is salvation for anybody who believes. And even here, you see that display right there. I love it. It's like, I always want to remind you of the gospel. I want to remind you of the good news. You're already standing in that good news because you believed it. And now you are being saved by that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of what? The power of God for salvation of anyone who believes. And you see it right here in that verse in 1 Corinthians 15. I want to remind you of the gospel, the good news I preached to you, which you received, you believed it, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, If you hold fast to the word I preach, because if you don't hold fast to the word I preach, then you have believed in vain. And then verse 3, he says, for I deliver to you as the first importance what I also received, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That sins will separate us from God, but somebody took my place, took your place, so that you now can be at peace with God. So that God will look at you through the eyes of Jesus and says, they're sanctified, they're holy, they're righteous. Not because of something you've done, but because Jesus is the one taking that. The Bible talks about he becomes our substitute. Substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus, meaning that he took my place and your place. He died for our sins. The Bible says he knew no sin and became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God, so that we might become the justice of God. So Paul says that he died for our sins according to the scripture. What scriptures? The Old Testament. The Old Testament already was saying how Jesus was going to die. And all the things that happened to Jesus is already being prophesied. This is what Paul says earlier. The gospel, he said, going back to Romans 1, when he says, he announced it through the prophets, through the holy writings. And Paul now here in 1 Corinthians 15 says that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he raised from the dead on the third day according to the scripture. So that's what the gospel truly, that's the content of the gospel. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Now, if you take any of those elements, then it's no gospel. You know, there are people that they preach Jesus. I mean, even you watch the Discovery Channel, they all agree that Jesus existed, that he lived, that he died by Roman execution, but then they leave it right there. That's not good news. Without the resurrection, my friends, that's no good news. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, then let's eat, drink, and die. There's no hope. But it's the resurrection of Jesus that brings the hope. You know, that now our salvation is going to be consummated. That now we have the hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus, because he said it in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Even though you might experience physical death, but you will live forever. You will go on to live with him forever. Good news. So Paul says, if there's no resurrection from the dead, our faith is useless. In other words, why are we talking about Jesus and preaching when there's no hope? It's the resurrection that will give us the hope. It's the resurrection that initiated the whole Christianity movement. It's the resurrection because they saw the risen Christ. And not just the resurrection, they saw him and ate with him. And he says, Paul says he appeared to Cephas, to Peter, and more than 500 of the brothers, among whom there's still some of those people are still alive when he wrote that letter. It's almost like he's saying, you don't believe me, ask any of them. They've seen it. So this is this is the greatest passage in the Bible that portrays defines the gospel. What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he resurrected on the third day according to the scripture. And if I believe in that message, I'm saved. If I believe in what Jesus Christ did for me, God will look to me as a just individual. Just not based on what my goodness, whatever I can do. No, based because I believe in him. I believe in his sacrifice. I believe in the work that he has done for me or on my behalf. And that's what makes me right with God. Anyone now can be made right with God when they believe Jesus. Through him, you have access to the Father. Through him, you're not condemned, like Angela was talking about. Paul writing in chapter 8 of Romans, he says, Therefore, now there's no condemnation. There's no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. So people that read Revelation, they get scared and they get scared to death. If you're in Christ, that's not for you. You don't have to worry about all these things that are happening in Revelation, because there's no condemnation. There's no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because Satan can come and accuse you and I about all the sins in the past. And all that Jesus had to do is like, hey, Satan, I pay for them already. They're forgiven. I pay for them. So And you know, the beauty of God, I love, he says he does not treat us as our sins deserve, because as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, he has compassion on those who fear him. And no wonder, Paul, I want you to remind you of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that you believe when I preached it to you. And you know, the Bible says faith comes from hearing. In order for people to hear the gospel, guess what? God's not going to send Elijah and the apostles. It's going to be through you and I. We got to be the ambassadors, even through a conversation. You know, like where you work out, at the gym, somewhere at the school, you're going to be there as an ambassador to present the gospel to you. I don't know if you saw a post that I posted on Facebook. I had gone, when we were in the DR, I went to the gym. You know, we're spending a few days with my parents in the resort. I go, you know, to the gym to work out, and so there's a man over there. And it's interesting, I thought he was Dominican. He looks just like me. And so he was somebody from Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio. And then we began talking about, and pretty soon what that conversation was leaning towards, like, the gospel, Jesus. And so it was like he told me a little bit of his story. I told him what I was doing there. Normal conversation. You know, we don't have to make it complicated. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know that. If somebody asked me, like, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer either, but we can research it together. You know, remember the Samaritan woman was the greatest evangelist, and she wasn't even a Christian yet. The Samaritan woman got an encounter with Jesus, and she said, like, good news, by the way. She's like, wow, I got to let people know. She went back into the village, and all she said was, come see a man that told me everything I ever done. Could he be the Christ? So people just, let's go check him out. They went, and then at the end of that story, in chapter 4, people said to the Samaritan woman, we do not believe just because of what you told us, but we believe because we have checked out the man, and we are convinced that he's the Messiah. But who initiated the whole contact? The Samaritan woman. Sometimes, my friend, all you got to tell people is come and check it out. Come and see. Come and see. And Jesus will do the rest. Conversation. Sometimes playing softball, people ask, you know, and then we got prayer going on there because at least they, oh, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Like, oh. And then they get mad because they've been cursing around me and they feel now that they don't have to curse. I said, it's not my, I know they operate by a different standard. I'm not going to judge them. I mean, that's their language, but hey, I'm there to be an ambassador for them. And where you work, where you go. The Bible says that you are Christ's ambassador. As if God is making his appeal through you and I. No wonder Paul says, I'm not ashamed, but you and I need to take the same stand. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it has the power to save people. We have so many people that need to be saved. Not just from a virus or something, from hell. Because without Jesus, that's really where we're going to go. Jesus is the one that recalculate our route so that we don't end up in condemnation and judgment, so that we go directly to heaven, all through Jesus. The hymn writer, that just came to my mind, said, all to Jesus I surrender. So Paul, now you see why he was so passionate about the gospel, that he said, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you. You have taken a stand. If you don't stand on it, you have believed in vain, he said. The gospel will save people. Why would the gospel save people? Because it portrays the one who can save. The gospel is all about Jesus, that he died for your sins and mine. He died so that we can be at peace with God. He died so that you and I don't have to die eternally. He took your place. By this gospel, we're saved. We hold firmly to the word, to the message. Christ sacrificed death according to the scripture, burial and resurrection according to the scripture, and also his post-resurrection appearances. It wasn't just that he resurrected, but the disciples saw him. They ate with him for about 40 days. Luke says that he appeared to the disciples, and you know, I remember one of them did not even believe. Remember Thomas? He said, I would not believe until I touch it and I get my faith. And Jesus said, hey Thomas, I'm here, check it out. Here's the evidence you've been wanting to see. And then all those disciples, you know, you research how they died. Why did they die? Because they were sold out for the sake of the gospel. Because they said, we cannot stop telling you what we have seen and heard. We witnessed that. We were with Jesus. And you want to shut us down? It's up to you, but we're not going to deny. And many of the majority of the apostles were martyred by they were executed for preaching the gospel. My friends, we're not there yet. But what if tomorrow time will change in our midst? Are we going to be ashamed? Maybe you're ashamed at school that your friends know that you go to church or that you are a Christian. Remember, what you have now has power to transform people. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of anybody who believes. So my question that I want to leave you with is, how are you going to take a stand for the gospel? You already have taken a stand because you have believed in Jesus and you are there, but how would you continue taking a stand for the gospel, for the message of salvation that only found in Jesus, even in our own society? When anybody else might not take a stand tomorrow, that you and I would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm still going to preach Jesus. Whether you take my taxes away, whatever, no, we're still going to preach Jesus no matter what happens to us. No matter what the government decides to do with the church tomorrow, we're still going to tell people that it's only found, salvation is only found in Jesus, because there's no other name given to men by whom we are to be saved. Take a stand, share the gospel with others. You know, we don't, like Angela was saying, we don't know all the answer, but we're willing to research it together. And sometimes people just need to point him out. It's like, I might not know, but I can point you out where you can ask him those questions. Come and see. You know, you and I are to be evangelists, people that bring the good news of Jesus to other people. And guess what? It's not, many of you are not called to be full-time preachers, but all of us are called to go and share the good news. You know, I don't know about you, don't you want everyone else to know when if it's truly a good news, you want everyone to know it, right? Hey, you know, we won the championship. You know, we posting online, you know, it's like, even there, we can use the platform of Facebook, everything, so that people know really where you stand in terms of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's not going to say any prophets or any angels are going to come and announce, because now Paul says that it's not going to be through the church, through you and me, that people get to know the manifold wisdom of God. That's how they're going to get to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, because it is the power of God for the salvation of anybody who believes. Jews, Greeks, free, slave, it doesn't matter. Anyone who believes, they can be saved by this gospel that you and I contain now. But our job is to go and share it. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you so much for